Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dust to Dust by Karina Halley, narrated by Joe Raylan and Eric Smees. Chapter 1. Perry. I was walking on the Brooklyn Bridge, the sky above me a black velvet blanket tinged with orange the closer it got to the horizon. There were no stars, not here with the city of New York right in front of me. The buildings acted like stars instead, their lights blurred and out of focus like the Photoshop bokeh effect. Though it wasn't snowing, the bridge was covered in a light dusting of pure white snow. I was only wearing my jeans and a thin Slayer hoodie, and yet wasn't cold at all. Everything around me was silent. There were no cars, and there were no people. The river below didn't lap, and the sounds of the city didn't carry. The snow was a blank sheet of paper, except for the one set of tracks that cut down the middle. I knew those footprints, made by boots, like I knew the back of my hand. They were what I had been searching for all this time. Why I was here. I walked on, slowly, hearing the snow squeak beneath my Chuck Taylors. Suddenly, the footprints veered off to the side of the walkway and stopped. I followed them and looked over the edge to where the cars should have been driving past, heading into the city. There was a man standing on the shoulder, looking out at the Hudson River. I couldn't see anything but his shadowy back, but I knew it was him. "Dex!" I yelled, but he didn't move. He didn't turn around. I yelled again. I knew it was him. Why wasn't he listening? Just how long had we been apart? I was so tempted to take off my shoe and chuck it at him, but decided I'd probably miss. Instead, I took in a deep breath and managed to climb over the edge of the walkway and onto one of the metal beams that spanned above the lanes. Somehow, I was able to balance perfectly, like a tightrope walker, as I made my way across. When I was near Dex, I lay down on my stomach and then slid off the edge of the beam, hanging in the air like a child from monkey bars for a few seconds before I let go. I landed with a soft thud, my knees aching from the impact. It was a long drop, and I was surprised that I had even done it to begin with, but there was no time to question anything. I ran up to him and put my hand on his arm, my fingers wrapping around his elbow, afraid to let him go ever again. He didn't turn to look at me. He didn't move. He didn't make a sound. I pulled back at him hard, panic coursing through me. What was going on? He was immovable, stuck to the cold white ground. "Dex," I whispered and walked around him. He was staring forward at the inky water, his face startlingly handsome with his high cheekbones and strong jaw flanked by light facial hair. But he was pale as snow, and his eyes were so dark they rivaled the sky. His expression was strangely blank, and the wisps of his shaggy black hair swayed lightly in the breeze. He wouldn't look at me, wouldn't acknowledge me. I wasn't even sure if he was real or a wax figure. I watched him, feeling the horror rising from deep within me, wondering if he was even breathing.
"That's not Declan,"
a smug voice from behind me said. I jumped and whirled around to see no one.
"Up here."
I looked up and saw a man in a business suit standing on the beam above me. The ends of his blazer flapped in the breeze, and his face was obscured in shadow. Still, I knew who he was. Every bone in my body told me who this was. I had met him before. "What's wrong with him?" I asked the man. I grabbed Dex's hand, squeezing it and staring into his face, trying to get a reaction, to get something out of him. He didn't even blink. He was just still, his eyebrow ring glinting from the city lights. This was Dex, my man, my love, my fiancé. This was him. I knew him better than I knew myself. Then what was wrong with him? I couldn't have traveled all this way to have failed in the end. I was supposed to bring him home.
There is nothing wrong with him, the man said from above. He's better now. He's buried down below, where he belongs.
I looked up at the man, feeling his hateful eyes upon me. They shone like nickels in the shadows, and my stomach steeled itself in protest. This man evoked nothing but primal fear in me. What did you do to him? I whispered. My eyes flitted over to Dex again, and I could only shake my head. This was Dex.
The same thing I will do to you and your sister and your mother, he said.
My breath caught in my throat, and when I finally exhaled, it came out painfully cold. Glowing embers began to fall from the sky, turning to ash as soon as they hit my skin. It burned, and the snow sizzled. What? I managed to ask, feeling myself slowly being drained of strength. He grinned at me, and his teeth glowed white.
You'll find out soon enough.
Then he turned sharply and strode away along the beam, the metal creaking until he reached the walkway.
Michael! I screamed after him. You can't leave him like this. He's your brother.
He shook his head, and for once I could see the glow of his skin from the light of the city. It was burned and red. I blinked my eyes, trying to see if it was his skin tone or color being reflected onto him.
No, he said. He's not my brother, and I haven't been Michael for a very long time.
He climbed onto the walkway and disappeared. Suddenly, the bridge quaked, jerking from side to side and throwing me off balance. I grabbed onto Dex to steady me, and as I did so, a terrific crash throttled the air. The bridge deck began to split from the end, a crack racing toward us in one dark, jagged line. Flames began to lick up through the split, and the suspension cables along the bridge began to snap and fly out, whooshing through the air with a metallic noise. Everything was still shaking, the bridge splitting right in two. It was heading right for us, right for Dex. The flames grew higher as they shot out of the crack, and from the corner of my eye, the world was slowly starting to become lighter. The East River turning from inky black water to a living floor of fire.
Dex! I yelled, trying to get him out of the way. But he wouldn't budge. The damn man wouldn't budge!
And the bridge continued to crack. I had two choices, and in that I had no choice. I was either going to go down with him and be swallowed whole by the inferno that was about to devour us, or I could step aside, save myself, and let him die. There really was only one choice. I grabbed onto his stiff body, wrapping my arms around him from behind, and buried my face into the back of his neck. I love you, I whimpered. Always. Beyond death. My legs started to wobble. The fire got hotter. The cracks seemed to split my world. But before I was sure the ground beneath us would fall, Dex suddenly moved. He spun around to face me and kissed me, quick and searing on my lips, making my heart flutter and my body ache with need and love. When I opened my eyes, I saw his eyes brimming with intensity. Here he was, right before the end. Then he pushed me backward. I stumbled and fell back on the deck just as the crack was a split second from taking him away from me.
Don't let him in, kiddo, he said gravely, his gaze freezing me. Don't let him in.
I screamed, no, and tried vainly to get to my feet. Dex!
But the split rocked under him, the ground opening with a deafening crack. Dex slipped away from view, swallowed by the flames. He was gone into a fiery hell while the embers continued to fall from the sky, turning to ash, turning to dust, just like my heart. I awoke to something tickling my face,
I groaned and moved my head. It felt as if something was inside my brain, pinching at different sections, impeding my ability to think. I couldn't think. It was just all blank. Dull and gray. I decided to keep my eyes closed and go back to wherever I came from. Something wet swiped across my cheeks. More tickling. Finally, I opened my eyes, wincing at the bright light from the sky and yellow fur that was in front of my face. "Kayla!" someone yelled from far away, a woman's voice. Suddenly, the licking stopped. I slowly pushed myself up on my elbows and watched as a shaggy golden retriever ran away and into the bushes. Where the hell was I? I looked around, feeling stupider than ever, like my mental ability had regressed a few decades. What had happened? Oh, my goodness, came a voice above me, and I looked up to see a middle-aged woman stop a few feet away, the golden retriever at her side. Are you okay? I blinked and tried to get up, but could barely get to my feet. The woman was at my side and helping me the rest of the way. Her eyes peered at me inquisitively. Do you need me to call an ambulance? She asked, her dog sticking its cold nose into my hand. Though I was dizzy, I knew I was okay. Physically, anyway. No, I said slowly, trying to step away from her grasp. My mind raced, trying desperately to hold on to the fragments of memory that were whizzing past. I had gone for a walk by the river. A man had been here. He'd talked to me. He knew my name. Are you sure? The woman was repeating while telling her dog Kayla to leave me alone. I stared at her dumbly, absently noting how silver her hair was. A shock hit me with a million pinpricks. Michael O'Shea, Dex's brother, had been here. He knew my name. He'd mentioned my blood. He said he'd see me in New York. Then he kissed me, and I was out. He was going after Dex. I have to go, I told the woman, turning on my heel and running down the path that would take me to my street. I couldn't run fast enough. Even though I knew I hadn't been hurt by the altercation, it still felt like a nightmare. Like I was trying to lift my feet out of drying cement, and I couldn't move fast enough. Even my fingers were slow as I repeatedly tried to call Dex's cell. It rang and rang and rang until it finally started going straight to voicemail. Somehow I made it to my house. My parents' car was still gone, but now so was the Highlander. Shit. I couldn't exactly explain what it was that was making me panic. Maybe it was the obtuse way Michael had talked to me. Maybe it was Pippa's warnings ringing in my ear and forcing me to connect the dots. Or maybe it was the fact that when I looked into Michael's eyes, I saw the absence of humanity inside their depths. It didn't matter. Every single nerve in my body was telling me to hurry now and ask questions later. The fact that Dex's car was gone was not helping. It seemed like going for a friendly drive with his estranged brother would be the last thing he'd want to do. The front door to my house was already open, though as I booked it up the driveway, I noted there weren't any signs of blood or struggle. I burst into the front hall and looked around wildly. Dex! I yelled. Dex! I started running for the stairs, but heard a slight moan coming from the kitchen. I paused. Ada? I ran inside and saw her lying on her side on the tile floor, trying to sit up, her blonde hair in her face. I immediately dropped to my knees and put my hands on her shoulders. She was damp to the touch, though it was probably from the workout she had been doing in the living room earlier. Ada, I said, trying not to screech. What happened? Perry, she said weakly. I helped her get into a sitting position. What happened? I asked again, applying slight pressure to her shoulders. Where is Dex? She put a hand to her forehead and slowly shook her head. I don't know. There was a man here. Suddenly she looked straight at me, fear mixed with sweat on her brow. Oh my God, he took Dex. I swallowed hard, trying my hardest not to let the terror take over me. How do you know that? What happened? think. She rubbed her lips together, her forehead creased as she tried to think. I was just in the living room, working out. I heard a knock at the door and went to answer it. There was this guy. At first I thought he was selling something. He had this douchebag kind of smile, you know? And then I realized there was something seriously wrong with this guy. She took in a deep breath. I can't explain why I thought that. It was just a feeling, or the way he was looking at me, I don't know. He asked if Dex was home, and he was. I'm sorry, Perry, I didn't know what to say. I shook my head, trying to get her to continue. I felt like we were losing time by the second. She went on, sliding her hands down over her face. I told him to hang on a second, that I would go get him, but Dex was already coming down the stairs, like he knew. And that's when I knew I made a big fucking mistake by answering that door. The look on Dex's face, I can't describe it. He was angry, and then it was like he was fucking terrified, more than I've ever seen him. She paused. The guy, he told Dex he'd been looking for him, that he finally needed him for something. And Dex, he didn't say anything. I wasn't even sure if he heard him at first. Then he looked at me, and I knew how much trouble we were in. He yelled at me to run and get you. She exhaled shakily, and in her eyes I saw as much helplessness as I felt. I was going to. I started to run. Then the guy reached out and touched my shoulder, and that's the last thing I remember. I guess he dragged me to the kitchen. I don't know. I couldn't even process it, and yet my brain was attempting to. Dex was gone. Michael had him. He had managed to knock both Ada and I out with either a touch or some way of getting inside our heads. What did he want with Dex? Did Dex go willingly? Where were they headed?
I'll see you in New York, Perry. That's what Michael had said to me.
What is it? Ada asked. Who was that guy? What happened to me? I took in a deep breath, trying to hold it together in whatever way I could. That was Dex's brother. She frowned. Huh? I slowly got to my feet and helped her to hers. Michael O'Shea, I told her. I met him on my walk. Whatever he did to you, he did to me. He was able to get in my head, and he was able to get in yours. And whatever he wants with Dex, it's not good. I figured as much. Ada, I said slowly, wishing she could feel my panic, know what Pippa had said to me. Listen to me. As dramatic and batshit crazy as this all is and all sounds, we have to get Dex back. She pursed her lips, perhaps weighing just how crazy it did all sound. How? I paced across the kitchen, wringing my hands, trying to go through the options. There weren't many. I don't know. He's gone with Michael in his car. I doubt it was voluntary, and even if it was, I have to go to New York. She stared at me blankly. Sorry, what? I bit my lip and nodded to myself. Yeah, I have to go to New York, Manhattan. That's where Michael is taking him. And how do you happen to know this? Splices of a dream came back to me. One with Pippa just a week ago, a dream of warnings on the Brooklyn Bridge. The other dream, more recent, punctuated by raining embers and snow. A dream of death and Dex. Now that I knew what had to happen, I was filled with an even greater sense of urgency. All signs were pointing to this. I tried to explain to her as quickly as I could and as best I could, starting with what little I knew about Michael, about the Pippa in my dreams warning me about imminent danger, about what Michael had said to me. The more I talked, the crazier it all sounded, but Ada, bless her soul, was able to put that aside and just listen. She was able to believe me. You can't just fly to New York, Perry, she said, after I felt absolutely breathless from the truth. Where will you go? Wander the streets shouting for Dex like a nutter butter? You have nothing to go on. No, I said. I have something to go on. I brought out my phone and in vain tried Dex's cell again. I hung up at his familiar message, ignoring the pain of hurt that threatened to rip through me at the mere sound of his voice. This couldn't be happening. Not like this. Not now, when everything in our lives was finally coming together. Perry? Ada asked, and I realized I was standing there, hand to my chest, my grip nearly breaking my phone. I quickly nodded and dialed the number. My first thought was to call Rebecca, but as much as I needed her help, she also wasn't like me, like us. She didn't know how to deal with this sort of thing, despite what we had just gone through at the asylum. Also, she was still on the I-5, riding putt-putt toward her final destination, and time wasn't on my side. So I called the only other person who not only would understand, but could possibly help me and help Dex. The only person who knew a thing about Dex's life in New York. I called Maximus. But naturally, life was a sick bitch, and he didn't answer his phone. I started to wonder if perhaps Michael's reach was farther than I thought, and he too was compromised. So I left a frantic voice message for the ginger to call me back, and then ran upstairs to pack an overnight bag. "What are you doing?" Ada yelled at me, hot on my heels. "I told you!" I raced into my room and started throwing shit around. I crammed a few pairs of underwear and a bra into a small carry-on, along with a pair of jeans and a few shirts.
"Perry, seriously!"
she screeched, grabbing my arm and making me stop. I'd never seen such worry in her eyes before.
"Don't just go and do this. You don't know anything for sure."
"I know that if he just wanted to talk to Dex, he wouldn't have sought me out. He wouldn't have done what he did to us.
You saw his eyes, that emptiness.
You know he's bad news."
"But he wants you to come to New York," she said. "He's baiting you."
I stood up straight and looked her dead in the eye. "Then I'm taking the bait. But I can't stay here and hope that he'll come back. Hope that I'll get a hold of him. We both know that's not going to happen. It's this or it's nothing, and I'm supposed to marry the fucking guy. If there is anything I know about me and Dex, it's that nothing is never an option. I'm going to New York, and you're letting me go." "Fuck that," she swore, a strange gleam coming over her eyes. "I'm not letting you go. I'm coming with you." "Ada," I said incredulously. "No way."
"Yes," she said. "You're my sister, and I'm not going to let you do this by yourself."
"You've got school," I said feebly. Truth was, I wanted her to come. More than that, I needed her to come. I could feel it in my gut, like I was stronger with her by my side. But I wouldn't be a good sister if I didn't insist she stay out of it. She was too young to get wrapped up in something that neither of us understood. "You can't stop me," she said, full of fiery conviction. "If you do this without me, I'll be right behind you. You have money on your credit card? I have money on mine." "You're too young to travel alone," I countered. She smiled coyly.
"I have ways."
"Mom and Dad will never let it happen."
"You let me worry about them."
"Ada."
"Perry,"
she answered, and for once I saw how damn serious she was. "If you're going after him, I'm going with you, end of story. Now, would you rather me go with you now or trail your ass through the city trying to catch up? Though perhaps I'll meet some nice New York men who'll be willing to help me." I grimaced at the thought of my little sister alone in the Big Apple trying to duplicate scenes from Sex and the City. Throw in some blood and gore and it would be pretty accurate.
"Don't think like that," I told myself.
"Don't think at all. Just go there. Keep calling, keep trying, and go." And so I did. There was no way I was able to prevent Ada from going with me, and from the conviction in her face, I knew she'd be stupid enough to try it alone. She was better off with me, even if I had no clue what I was about to do. While she packed in a whirlwind, I think despite the dire circumstances, she was excited about going to New York for the first time. I called a cab and sent texts to Maximus, Rebecca, and Dex. I knew the Dex one wouldn't go through. Normally, I could tell when he read them, and it wasn't the case.
I still watched with my breath held, hoping that he'd read my words. When I realized he wouldn't, I put down the phone and closed my eyes. "Dex," I yelled inside my head. It was a long shot, but I was still going to take it. "Dex, can you hear me? I don't know where you are or what's going on, but I know you need me. Michael, your brother, he's not a good person. And I'm scared for you. I'm coming to New York, hoping you're there." I paused. "I love you." Even in my head, it came out more like a whisper. I waited again, not knowing if he could hear me wherever he was, and if he could, if he would respond. But there was a void. There was nothing but the prickly gray behind my eyes and the sound of Ada running down the stairs. My heart never felt so empty. Ada put her hand on my shoulder and squeezed it. "Hey, we're going to get him back. He's going to be fine." I looked at her and tried to draw in her strength. I nodded. "Cab will be here. Let's go wait outside." I'd never just shown up at an airport before and tried to buy a ticket for a plane. In fact, I don't think I'd ever really bought a ticket for a plane in general. In the past, whenever I'd travel, it was always my parents who made the arrangements. Or Dex. I thought back to the first time I'd flown alone, when I was going down to meet him in Red Fox, New Mexico. It felt so long ago. Not only with the passing of time, but the passing of character. I was no longer that shy, insecure girl who stared adoringly at Dex and prayed that he felt the same thing for me as I did for him. Granted, I was still flawed deeply and terribly, but when I looked back at how far I'd come, sometimes it was almost unbelievable. It wouldn't have happened without him. I wouldn't have become the person I was without him. I couldn't lose him. I wouldn't. I tried to keep those feelings at bay while the cab took us to the airport. Every moment I thought about Dex, every time I felt that rush of anxiety and pain, it was a moment taking me out of the game. I had to stay focused. Turns out, though, that you can't just hop on a plane to New York. Well, you can. They took my money, after all. But we were put on standby, which didn't help with my anxiety. While Ada took her time perusing the airport gift shops and snapping up bags of junk food and high fashion magazines, I started texting the crap out of Rebecca, Maximus, and Dex again. I also started waiting for the dreaded phone call from my parents, the one they'd make once they realized everyone had suddenly disappeared. It probably would have helped to leave a note, but what the hell would it have said anyway? "Be right back. We've gone to New York because Dex was kidnapped by his long-lost brother, whom we think is in cahoots with Satan." Not that my parents would be terribly surprised at this rate. I thought back to my mom about the medication I'd taken from her. I hadn't meant to take it, just switch out a few pills and see what happened. But the pills were in the bottom of my purse, and they were coming with me. I could no longer monitor her and see if she was experiencing anything, to see if she saw ghosts like I did. I could only hope that what I did would make her realize that I knew, and that she needed to fess up to being just like Ada and me. Thankfully, it didn't take too long for us to get on standby, even though Ada had to occupy another seat further back in the plane. She wasn't too happy about that, but at least she was seated next to a thin, antisocial-looking woman. I was seated next to some fat businessman who kept jabbing his elbows into me, taking up far more space than what was politely possible. It was just when everyone had boarded and the flight attendant started their safety demonstration that Rebecca called me. Even though the nearest attendant had just made a point about putting all phones in airplane mode, I quickly answered it. "Thank God," I said into the phone. "Perry?" Rebecca asked. "I just got your text. What happened?" "I don't know," I said, my voice shaking all over again. I was aware that Bacon in a suit was looking at me with interest. I moved closer to the window until I was smushed up against it. "Dex, he's gone. His brother appeared out of nowhere, and I think he took him," I whispered frantically into the phone. "Miss, you're gonna have to turn off your phone, please," I heard the flight attendant say. I looked over my shoulder at her and nodded.
Okay,
I said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?